401. I'm going to call the order of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. We could start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, with regard to roll call, Ms. Ellen Schmidt is present. Ellen Schmidt is present. Brian Hughes is present. Honorable Julie Taylor is present. Honorable Sam Newby is present. I am present. And Mr. Henry is present. And so we have full attendance of the committee. Move on to old business regarding approval of the November 17, 2021 minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved, and we will move on to new business. I'm not sure if it's the General Counsel's office or Ms. Moser who would be able to provide us kind of an update for why we are here. I generally understand that there was at least discussion made to Ms. Goodman, and that there was some difficulties related to salary, is my general understanding. But for the committee, if we could kind of get a better update.
So I'll set the table for you, and then let Ms. Moser kind of weigh in on as far as the conversations that she had. But as you'll recall, the committee met last Wednesday and approved Ms. Goodman, or I guess negotiations with Ms. Goodman, and a salary of $147,084.89. The conversation with Ms. Goodman about her start date of November the 30th, there was discussion in terms of when you were generally reviewing the candidates as far as part-time versus full-time. I think that the committee wanted to have somebody that could be available full-time, that could dedicate their entire time to this office as opposed to splitting time between two offices. You did eliminate Mr. Weinstein from consideration based upon his desire to work both at the KHA and the Inspector General's office, and then it came down to Mr. Sherman and Ms. Goodman. And the committee acknowledged the issue as far as Ms. Goodman being a completely separate entity from the City of Jacksonville versus Mr. Sherman having both worked at the Council Auditor's Office as well as currently in the Finance Office. Mr. Sherman indicated that, you know, if he were to be selected as a candidate, he would, reside full-time at the Inspector General's Office, and then based upon his experience with the auditor's office, he's used to working in an environment where he has to separate himself from the rest of city government to be able to work on different projects, that kind of thing. Ms. Goodman indicated her start date would be November 30th once the committee called her, and so then ultimately you voted to have the city pursue Ms. Goodman. So those efforts were, there was an effort made to reach out to Ms. Goodman to negotiate. As far as what she would request, let Ms. Moser get into the specifics. My understanding is that she desired to only work in a part-time capacity between 20 and 25 hours a week, and then her salary request exceeded the $147,000. She was requesting initially $200 an hour, which, if you factor that over an annualized period, that would, I believe, be over $400,000 a year. She then has backed off on that, I think, to $175 an hour. I don't know if there's been any discussions after that. And so then, I would request, Mr. Chair, that Ms. Moser just kind of walk you through kind of her conversations with Ms. Goodman.
One quick question is, when these discussions, like obviously this is an annualized salary, is there ever discussion like on an hourly basis? Is that natural?
Well, it's, yeah, I mean,
or it just, you figure out what the hourly is based on the overall annual salary.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I would simply, you know, I know that this committee has expressed a great deal of concern that there be complete independence, but that's not exactly how the IG ever works. The mayor and city council put forth a budget. I'm in the role of running the city departments and adhering to budget. So the numbers, even if you take away annualized, and look at the part-time rate, it would still be, if the part-time dollars in the initial request were over the course of a year, that would equate to $200,000 a year, which exceeded the full-time salary of the IG who's on leave. So that and subsequent adjustments have the budget out of line with the budgetary capacity at the IG currently.
Okay.
And to rectify that would require some additional work by the administration and the city council.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Mother, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Oh, no, that's quite okay. And Jason basically wrapped it up really well. But Diane Moser, and to the chair, I had a conversation with Ms. Goodman on Thursday morning after the meeting, and when I let her know what the offer was going to be at, which was the equivalent of an annual salary, and we just do that to put it in context for you, of $147,084.89, and I told her that equates to $70.71 an hour. She said, well, I won't accept that. She said she currently makes between $250 and $400 per hour now, and that she would not be able to accept anything that low. But she would accept as low as $200 an hour. And so I mentioned, you know, that the committee did not discuss a rate at that level and that we would have to reconvene the committee to even consider that. And she says, okay, we'll, you know, just reconvene the committee. So that was Thursday, November 18th. On November 19th, Ms. Goodman contacted me again, and she said that she would go down to $175 an hour, and the way that she put it was it would be $150 for the work and $25 per day for travel expenses, because she was going to have to take Ubers, stay in hotels. She's not planning on moving into a home here. And I let her know we don't have a mechanism to pay for any kind of travel expenses at an hourly rate. So I confirmed that it would be $175 an hour. That would be her bottom line. And she said yes. And at that point, she said she could work up to 25 hours a week. So at this point, last I heard, it was $175 an hour at 50 hours per pay period, which equates to 25 hours a week. And that she could potentially be in the office 3 days a week. So she would be in the office for longer days, and then she would be available remotely if we needed her.
All right, I would invite anyone on the committee who has any questions of Ms. Moser or Mr. Teal, Mr. Teal, related to kind of what we're discussing right now and learning about.
I had a question. I don't know whether Ms. Moser could answer, Mr. Teal, or Mr. Hughes. Is there like a breakdown as to how much room we have in the budget one way or another as to what's remaining?
We do have Lisa Green through the chair. Lisa Green was making $196, $666. So if she at some point, she's on Avonlea for 2 weeks, then she'll come off the payroll. So we do have the dollars for her salary, and then we have an additional $42,000 for a vacant position. We also, I just want to expand on something. We also don't just look at like the salary for the position. We also have to look at it in the context of the city. What would be, you know, appropriate to pay somebody? And our highest paid employee is our medical examiner. He's a doctor, and his annual rate is $365,000, and that's a very high annual rate, and she's asking for something that falls like right at that level. So I just want to throw that out. Brian Hughes, who runs the city, makes less than that. I don't know if it's a significant amount less. I can state what he makes, but I'm just throwing that out for context, that the $200 an hour was a very, very high amount to ask for.
Could I ask a question real quick as far as what Lisa Green's hourly rate would work out to at her present salary?
Yeah, can do the math real fast. I thought I had.
Yeah, I think you should
say one.
$91 an hour?
And Mr. Chair, I think it's worth remembering that this committee, she made this number that we offered was the number she made prior to a compensation meeting that this committee had less than a year ago. So that rate that you're being quoted was a raise that she got after, I think, 4 years of service in the office?
Yes, she was prior to the 196,666, which amounts to an hourly rate of $94.55. She started making that rate on October 1st. Prior to that, she was at 163,333 annual.
I just asked him, since we're speaking in terms of hourly rates, we haven't wanted to understand what we're talking about with regard to the screen crew. Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple of thoughts. One is, if we were talking about hiring her as an employee who was going to stay with the city, I certainly think that that dollar amount puts her out of our range. But we're hiring her as a subject matter expert for a defined period of time. And I wonder if there's precedent for paying subject matter experts or consultants. Like, I don't know that we should be thinking about her in terms of what we pay other city employees, but have we ever paid a consultant a fee, or what's that look like?
There are outside council contracts that OGC has that are probably in excess of that on hourly rates. Not much, but
what would that look like? An outside counsel, somebody we hire temporarily as an expert to help us with a problem?
So from the general counsel's office perspective, we hire expert witnesses, for example, an accident reconstructionist or, something along those lines. And then if there's an area of specialized legal knowledge that we need assistance with, or if there's a conflict or something like that, then we do hire outside law firms. Typically, they give us a government rate, really it all depends on, kind of the expertise of the individual, but sometimes it could be in the $300 to $400 an hour range. But again, those contracts are structured so that there's not to exceed amounts embedded in them. Actually pursuant to the ordinance code, we're required, anytime we engage an outside counsel, we're required to have a not to exceed amount included in that. And then, that can be, amended to increase that amount. But, when we hire, law firms and that kind of thing, then, partner level type thing would be $400 range.
Go ahead.
I think there's information to add, otherwise I would interrupt through the chair. And the annual budget put forth by the mayor, considered by the city council, there is a defined line for outside counsel and expert witnesses. If we run up against exceeding that total number in the budget line, it would require the OGC to notify the administration and us to go to city council to contemplate budgetary adjustments to give them additional resources. So that's to say, if we presume but don't necessarily know what the financial trajectory is with the person on leave who is currently in the job, it would not surprise me if at some point we hear that there's a challenge to that turning off the spigot of payroll. There is a small number vacancy there, so it would not take very much time at some of these numbers being discussed by the candidate to require additional budgetary action, which could potentially, if it were denied or not advanced, could throw a cloud over it. And I hope we get back to the discussion while we're scraping pennies together, this question of full-time versus part-time.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That's the question that I had. I think it's more of a preliminary question. Is 20 to 25 weeks in the office enough? Because I know the IG had a concern about someone being present day-to-day, there to meet with people, there to sign subpoenas, do whatever they need to do. And it's unfortunate, I think, that at the last meeting we didn't know any of this. My impression, at least, and maybe I'm mistaken, is that she was going to be here on November the 30th, and that was that. Now we're hearing, well, no, she's not going to be here day to day. She's only going to be here 20 to 25 hours a week. And even though we do accomplish a lot by Zoom, I would really want to defer to the IG's office as to whether they feel that's sufficient. If it's not, then all of this is a little bit moot, I think.
That's a good point.
Excuse me, through the chair. You bring up a good point, Your Honor. I think, you know, full-time would obviously would be the most ideal because, you know, as I've been serving as the acting director of investigations, I've kind of gotten a chance to kind of see a bit more things and look at a bit more administrative things that I know that need tweaking and that I, you know, even based on our policies, I don't have the ability to do. We have to have the only person who has the authority to do that is the Inspector General. So there's a lot of just basic even administrative things, not just the signing subpoenas, the signing reports, which while would take time, could, as you say, could probably be done with a smaller amount of time, a part-time. But there's some just basic administrative things that I think it would be very advantageous for someone. It maybe it isn't full-time, but I'm worried about the just 25 hours a week. I think if we could push it up a bit more, that would be more, the most ideal. We could probably still make 25 hours a week work, but it's not, I think, what the office needs and what just my observations as I've gotten an opportunity to kind of look through things.
I have a question but a comment. Just like the judge said, I would expect this person is going to be here 40 hours a week, so that's going to be a big concern for me. She can only work 25 hours. That's a huge concern for me because I found with the investigation going on, all the stuff that's going on, we need somebody here who's going to be here 40 hours a week to do this. So that's going to be a concern for me.
So maybe I think Judge Taylor raised a good point. Obviously, President Newby has said the same, but maybe we should address it in twofold, like how we feel about the part-time, and then if we are comfortable with that idea, whether or not the idea of a greater salary number is something that the committee is okay with. So I think we've heard a little bit, but does anyone else have comments with regard to part-time versus full-time?
I had a clarification. I believe Mr. Sherman, when we gave him the last chance to kind of talk about his experiences, he had mentioned that he could only work 25 hours based on his city pension, or was it after a certain point he could only work 25 hours? I just want to clarify that.
Jason, I'll get this. Yeah. Through the chair, he could work up to 6 months at 40 hours an hour. 40 hours a week. Thank you. And then after that, he would have to drop to under or to 25 or under. So he could work 6 months at 40 hours a week.
And then does his previous, his current job right now kind of factor into that?
I believe he'll be leaving that job to be the IG, you know, selected to be the interim.
And if I may, I don't know that this initial discussion really automatically turns to the other candidate. I think this is an initial question, and because for me personally, I'm not sure that we no longer have concerns about a potential conflict, which we can maybe discuss separately, but I just wanted to voice that one question.
Yeah, I do. I think I'd like to resolve the issue with Ms. Goodman first. Does anyone else have any comment on the part-time versus full-time, Mr. Hughes?
I'll just add, I sat here, Mike Weinstein is a good man with decades of service, and I sat here and offered a notion that he was, the idea of part-time wasn't enough. So I believe I represented that that the administration is going to be to see somebody in a full-time role. I think there are intangibles that are involved here, which is a very good qualified IG staff that continues to have a lot of upheaval and tumult around them. And I think the full-time presence of the leader through that is worthy.
Yes, Mr.
I think, I don't know if you asked, maybe Mr. Ang can answer this. So what is the reason why she can't work 40 hours? Did she tell anybody? Did she tell you the reason why she can't work 40 hours?
Through the chair, I got the impression that she has other obligations.
So she's going to be doing two other things, and that's the concern that I have, because just like to Mr. Hughes' point, you know, Mike Weinstein, great guy. One reason why I put him out, because I want this person to be solely focused on this particular job. So, to me, in my opinion, it's almost the same thing. she's going to be doing, I didn't realize she's going to be doing another job. I thought she was going to be totally focused on this job.
Anybody get it, Mr. Schmidt?
Is there, like, any way to meet with her and ask her these questions? Any of the questions that we have, like by Zoom or by any other means? So I feel like sometimes the best answer is to go to the source.
I did ask Mr. Granite to see if she could be available in the event that the committee did have questions. I can certainly call her on the telephone again.
She is available for questions.
I love the idea of calling her. I'm totally supportive of that. I was just trying to think about if there's anything else we want to discuss and line up questions before we call her to make sure we're prepared. Obviously, I would have a question about her focus during the time that she was here, the 25 hours that she would be physically present in the office, clarifying if, in addition to that, she's available remotely if needed. And then, given what Mr. King was sharing, does she think in those 25 hours, I'm still so impressed with her resume, I'm hopeful that she'll be able to, I don't know the word for what I want, to bring her experience efficiently to the office so that she can hopefully address the most pressing concerns that you have and your team has efficiently and promptly. I don't know what else everybody else wants to ask her about.
I don't know when it would be appropriate, if there's an appropriate time. I would also have questions for her regarding her time in Palm Beach County. At some point we can elaborate on that if you'd like.
I think I'd like to focus on the hours right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to dovetail on what everyone's been talking about. For the hours for part-time in general, we talked about, I think at the last meeting, the need to make some kind of administrative decisions on the for current employees that are currently being investigated. And we've talked generally about making sure that the office is back in a state I think all of us can be proud of because of the work that they've been able to do. So I think to Mr. King, between the 24 hours or the 30 hours that you kind of explored, is there anything else that we need to be aware of for us to be able to make an educated decision outside of what you've already told us is that they would be responsible for doing, whoever the candidate is?
No, I mean, like I said before, the greater time I think would be better to build the stability. You know, I ideally, the full time would be the way to go. I'm trying to show a little bit of flexibility because I think we with the good staff and we do have a good structure set up that we could, you know, if someone can't do 40 hours, they can do 35 hours or 30. You know, I don't want to get stuck in the minutiae of nickel and diming, but full time would be the best in terms of so we could hit the ground running, be prepared, and get everything set up that we need to go, because, you know, so we can get through the full process that we are going to have to go through. I mean, I honestly, what's going on with the former or the current Inspector General who's on leave, we really don't know how that is going to unfold. There's still a lot of stuff in the air, and I think it would be best, it's always best if you have some consistency and have someone who can right away, when they're there more, we can all get used to their leadership, and you can kind of get a feel, and they can get a feel of kind of what the office needs, what needs to be changed and what doesn't. And that's a big thing, because, you know, they're coming in, you know, it's like they're taking the helm of a ship during the midst of a storm. You know, this isn't like, you know, we're, you know, as good as the crew is here, this isn't like they're hopping in and it's calm seas per se. Because there's no doubt will be other stuff that may be coming up that we don't know. I mean, right now, I have some things that I have seen as I've gotten an opportunity to kind of serve in a supervisory role that are things I think that need to be addressed as soon as possible. But there no doubt are things I don't even know about yet. I mean, I find new things. It's like anything. You know, it's the unknown unknowns that are concerning, and that's where it would be the most advantageous to have someone full time, because we could go ahead and deal with the issues that we have now, which I think would warrant more hours than less. you know, and so that lets, you know, I'm trying to not go too much of a tangent, but I really feel pretty firm that, you know, the closer we can get to full time, that would be the most, that would be the ideal thing to make sure that our office is up and running, is functioning the way that it should be, and that the taxpayers should expect as well.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, sir.
How should we evaluate the nature of this person being in an interim basis? Should we look at them as a leader that is going to make full set changes that are going to be there, whoever the IG is after that interim basis, or should we look at them as someone that is there for a moment of time to kind of put things back in shape?
That's an excellent question. You know, I will put it this way. I will, when we have something that comes in, I would treat them as, you're the inspector general now until I'm told otherwise. I think that's the mindset that has to be taken. I mean, there needs to be, depending on what commitments they would give this committee. I mean, obviously you have some of the candidates have said, hey, they can only do a certain amount of time, or they will only do a certain amount of time and they won't be considered for the full role. But my take is, you know, they need to be the consideration that, look, you know, your name is going to be on these reports. Your name is going to be involved with this office. So this is your gig. You know, this is what you're going to be doing. Maybe they need to take it with the humility that it isn't going to be, you know, till the end of time. But my mindset would be, you're the inspector general now. You know, that's how I would view it, and that's how I would treat them when they came in, because, you know, they're going to have the authority to do everything, and they're going to be making tough decisions on day one. They have a couple people of where we have personnel decisions to make, and that's a tough decision they're going to have to be prepared to do right away. So to me, they're the inspector general. So.
Maybe a good starting question is to let her describe to us what she's going to do in her first 2 weeks.
Yeah, my plan is to let her comment on this, and then I will literally hand the phone to every down and any question that anyone wants to ask. And I think we should probably, since we'll have her on the phone, cover any questions you have related to salary and related to hours. Yes, sir.
I think you were talking about annual salaries or what it would equate to.
Yes.
What do people think the actual length of time the position is? Is it 1 month, 2 months, 3 months?
I don't think we have any idea at this point. I mean, it could be 1 month and Lisa Green could be back here in charge, or it could drag on and then... Yes.
I have some questions in my... So it'll help inform my full-time, part-time decision. How many employees do we have, FTEs, at the IG office? I'm looking at Diane, but you probably also know that.
Besides Lisa, we have...
Including the IG.
We have 11, and then vacant position.
So there's 11 positions, including the inspector general as herself. So 10 employees under that leadership role. One of those is vacant, so there's 9 people?
Yes.
Okay. We know that in addition to the IG being on administrative leave, based on the last meeting, we have 2 of those existing employees that have made a complaint. Is that still the state of... Okay.
So, 2 additional complaints have come in. That...
From 2 new people?
2 new people.
So, of 9 people that are in the office, there are now 4 that have complaints about the operations of the office.
Right, and I think that when Mr. King was talking to y'all, talking about it being a ship in a storm, you know, that's, you know, from an intangible standpoint, it's one thing. I think that if we're talking about somebody coming into a healthy environment and being able to just kind of administer the program, you know, for an indefinite period of time, and that's all it needs is administering the program, that would be one. You know, one set of scenario. You know, I think that the other scenario is what we've got, which is, you know, we've got a program that, while the program itself might be solid, the administrative aspects of that program right now, I think, are troubled. And so that, I think, is an important consideration when you're talking about, you know, full-time versus part-time, is what is this person walking into, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, like I said, it would be a different story if you walked into the environment and everybody's doing their job, they're all happy, they're just, you know, in other words, the vacancy was created under different circumstances as opposed to, you know, a situation where there's a problem and, you know, this person is being asked to kind of drop into the middle of this environment and asked to kind of get the train back on the tracks or to, you know, to kind of solve things more from a personnel, administrative, environment perspective, is a different consideration, I think. And so that's, I think, where just wanted to not sugarcoat it for you guys as far as, you know, what the reality is, you know, on the ground over there and whether or not somebody can come in part-time and, you know, kind of grab things to where they need to be in order to be able to put it back versus, you know, somebody that can be there. As again, a lot of this is going to be what's the unexpecteds? You know, what are the things that are going to come up that, you know, that you don't know about when you think about whether you're going to go to, you know, work on a particular day or not, or for the hours that you're coming in? And is it fair to the staff to, you know, to not have somebody there that's, you know, for the full 40 hours a week when, you know, you're kind of in an environment that's been dysfunctional for a little while, at least based upon the complaints that we're getting?
Yes, sir.
So my follow-up is related to another topic, but if the call is imminent, I would like to at least help explain it. So the last meeting, Mr. Teal, I asked you if you had personally or someone from you had personally discussed with Mr. Sherman or Mr. Weinstein. You said you had, but you had not been in touch with the candidate we're talking about, nor had Ms. Mosier. So we had asked for OGC to vet, and you took receipt of a resume, and we considered everything based on a resume. That resume included service in Palm Beach County.
Correct.
Okay. So because of a concern I had that there were two known entities and one who came very highly regarded with a very stellar resume, you know, I have a peer in Palm Beach County who brought to my attention the fact that, again, this doesn't necessarily speak to any problem, but it's just a fact that was reported, that when she served in a role as Inspector General in Palm Beach County, she actually, and you may know more about this than I do, I don't know, but she actually pursued a lawsuit against the county related to a concern about, a concern that would not be unlike what she would have here, which is there is a legally defined independence to that office and how it operates, but it still ultimately has a component of service within a city government structure or a governmental structure, and that she didn't like something about that structure, so she filed suit against the county, her employer, to separate, and ultimately lost that challenge. But it took time and money, and there's press coverage that at least shows some friction between her operation as Inspector General and the rest of the functionality of the municipal government she served and then paid her salary. So I just bring that forward because it is a topic I'd like to understand, because as we've just heard, this is an office with a great deal of stuff swirling around it. And just as I would like a full-time person, I think a person who understands the Venn diagram, because I know there's a great concern about independence, and that's legally defined and ethically mandated through a variety of ordinances and things, but there is an actual attachment of the Inspector General to the government that the Inspector General serves. That's not unlike almost every Inspector General at any level of government. So if this person has a history of challenging the very entity that the office is within, I do have a concern that perhaps there's something about that I need to understand to feel better about the role.
Okay. After that, I'll let her explain it. But for context, in addition to that, didn't she shortly come to the city, our city, thereafter?
Yes, that at least according to the resume. I mean, obviously she was in Palm Beach until June of 2014, but then she worked and set up the Inspector General's office here between July 2014 and July 2017.
You're going to answer that question.
That's actually my point exactly, which is ultimately the structure that this office lives under today, she was part of the model of its creation. I'd like to understand her, where she sees a difference from what she undertook in Palm Beach County to what she helped create today and how it exists today.
Yeah, I was just asking because I didn't know whether or not it had come up at that time.
I don't know. I wasn't here in 2014.
Is anyone here from the city aware of any issues that we had with Ms. Goodman when she was here? Ms. Miller?
I was here when she was hired in 2014-15, and I had discussions with her when she was hired. So I'm familiar with her reputation in Palm Beach County, what she was trying to do down here.
So I guess
she's better to explain that.
Yeah, she can explain that. I was just curious if anyone knew if there was any issues when she was here with the city of Jacksonville.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All
right. Look, may I have one more thought about part-time versus full-time? I think when we were talking earlier about some of the challenges in the office, part of me was hearing that as a reason to have a full-time person, but the other part of me was hearing it as a reason to have somebody with tremendous Inspector General experience, because it is such a it's turmoil affair word to use. The office is in turmoil, and the expertise, I'm struggling, the expertise versus the availability. I see value in those things. So I'm interested to talk to her to see if it helps me land in one
sure.
camp or another.
Mr. Schmidt?
Well, my comment was the same. It'd be like a learning curve if we hired a civil attorney at the public defender's office who could devote 40 hours a week versus hiring an experienced criminal attorney at 25 hours a week. Which one am I going to get the most work product out of? And I'd be interested to hear from both of them, actually. Maybe Mr. Sherman knows very well the office. Maybe she does, but I'd be interested, because you could be spending a lot of that 40 hours catching up.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we call Ms. Goodman, and she can address this, and any question you all want to ask, you can ask.
Thank you.
Goodman, this is Lee Hutton calling you. We're currently meeting with the Inspector General's Election Retention Committee. There are some questions that have come up related to your potential employment as Inspector General. And if you please call me back at this number, I'd appreciate it. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I think if you call her now, she will pick up her phone. She's in the process of moving, but she said she'll pick up now if you call her now.
Okay.
Hello?
It's Goodman?
Yes.
This is Lee Hutton calling you again.
How are you?
All right, we are currently meeting with the Inspector General Selection Retention Committee. There has been a discussion that has come up related to both your part-time status and related to hourly rate. And so what I would intend to do is if you could just generally address both of those issues with the committee, and then it is my belief that individual committee members may have specific questions for you.
Sure. As far as the part-time, I know I talked to Diane, and she said you can do 50 hours within every 2 weeks pay period, or 40, but you can only say 6 months is what her discussion was. When I first was approached, I thought it was a part-time. I just finished one job. I have one thing left that my business associate can take over. So if you all decide you want me, I can clear my calendar certainly for the next month or so, 2 months. So for the purposes, if we really need me to be at the office 3-4 days a week, I certainly can do that. It's just, again, we don't know what we don't know. And I don't, you know, necessarily want you to all the things that somebody needs to be there 40 hours. If they do, certainly I can do that. From that perspective, you know, truly this is, you know, until you all have the decision of what's with IG Green, I really think just getting in there to take a temperature gauge, see what's going on with the staff, taking a look at their workload, and looking at accreditation, I don't think will take that long. I think by, you know, January, hopefully you'll know whether IG Green is going to remain or not remain. And we go from there to see whether or not somebody, you know, calls the nurse, sees somebody in-house in the IG's office is capable of being interim and advertising the position. So I'm flexible. I cleared my calendar for a while. I have a business partner, so he can take on if anything comes up between. I don't see much coming up, obviously, with the holidays in December. It's pretty low. As far as my rate, I've reduced it tremendously, but understand on my end, I have to fly in every week and have hotels. And, you know, I've cut my rate pretty much. I'm pretty much down to, you know, if you include the expenses in the rate, $175 is what the rate that can drop it down to.
So,
that answers your question.
All right, yeah, it does. So, the first, I guess you've answered the question on the rate. The second, just make sure that I'm clear. You're saying you would be available for 25 hours, but you could also do 40 hours if necessary? Is that what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if it turns out that I'm needed there full time for, you know, the next few weeks until we get all this resolved, certainly I can commit you, you know, commit that for you all. You know, I see that right after the first year, hopefully we regroup and I can report back to you what I see, whether or not, you know, hopefully by then you have an answer, whether you still have an inspector general on staff or not have an inspector general on staff. And then we, you know, I can give you the temperature gauge of what I see. If there's someone in-house that can do an interim, you know, until you advertise, or maybe there's someone capable inside that can do longer. So certainly I can donate and give, or not donate, but give you guys the time that's needed. I'm not a time waster, so, you know, I'm not going to run up the clock. If I think we can get this done and get some resolution fairly quickly, I know, you know, I can certainly get in there and do that fairly quickly. There's no need to extend unless you all feel you want to extend.
All right. You have, I think those are the questions. I'm going to hand you to City Council President Mr. Newby, and if he has specific questions. He does not have specific questions.
This is Julie Taylor. Ms. Mosher stepped out while you were speaking, and she is now back. She made a comment about being told that she could do 50 hours every 2 weeks. That was presented to her as an option. Now she's saying she could do that or 40 hours a week. Okay, so it's not, and I guess that's where I'm getting confused. Who is looking for the 25 hours a week? Is it the city or is it Ms. Goodman?
What I said was a result of my conversation with Cheryl earlier. She's just revised what she said to me.
And I guess that's where I'm getting confused, because she said that was the option presented to her, was 50 hours every 2 weeks or 40 hours a week. Ms. Goodman, did I understand you right, or did I misunderstand you?
What I asked was, what is the rule regarding part-time? And so Diane had indicated that you can either work 50 hours in two pay periods or 2 weeks, or if you work full-time, the maximum for the city, as she explained, would be 6 months.
All right. So are you asking Ms. Goodman for part-time, or are you flexible in terms of part-time versus full-time?
I am flexible for now to get in there and, you know, clearly I was looking at starting this thing, you know, whether it's, you know, 25, 30 hours. I didn't want to break the rules of part-time, so I wasn't quite sure what the rules were. But if it's needed that I need to be there 40 hours, I'm certainly willing to do that and figure out, you know, I still think, you know, the month of December should tell us a lot. And that we can report back to you in January to what I see and what needs to be done.
All right, you said
I commit to you, I will produce as many hours as we think is necessary to get this done.
You said for now. How long can you be full-time if that's what we decided we needed?
Well, right now I can clear my calendar for all of December, and pretty much probably I can clear it for January, and then we can see from there. I mean, I have a business partner, so the clients we have, fortunately, there's some that are not starting until next year, and I just finished my last client, and then my business partner can finish up next week, the one we have. So December we kind of take off anyway, so I'm clear, and I can, you know, continue to... I've always tried to be very dedicated when needed for Jacksonville, so if it's needed, I will continue and give you as much as I can give you. If it goes beyond January, you know, full time, you know, preferably, hopefully by then, if you won't either need me or part time, by then we'll have things back on track.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hand you to Mr. Henry. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hi, Ms. Goodman. I just had two questions for you because it's going to come up in conversation. The first question I had, with your experiences, what should interim IG should be looking for coming into an office that we're kind of finding ourselves in this particular moment? You're going to have to make, if you were to be selected, make some administrative decisions and then kind of reevaluate personnel decisions and policies. So I'm curious from your perspective what you would do in that situation and what you would do in general in that situation.
Sure. Well, I think the immediate right now is to get with the general counsel's office and find out exactly where we are with status of their investigation that I need screen to see whether or not that's kind of a good conclusion so we can bring that to you. Clearly, the office, you know, getting everybody together, I understand that there's been some actions taken that may have been retaliatory in nature. Clearly, I have to, you know, I would, as the interim, make sure I know all the facts and circumstances around that and make a decision whether we bring that person back. I do understand there's some other personnel issues, so it's kind of twofold. I mean, we've got to deal with personnel issues, but we also have to deal with what the mission of the job is. So the flip side is obviously, you know, if they have open investigations and they're subject, you know, that's not fair to subject to keep delaying these cases. I always say it's just as important to clear someone as it is to say someone did something wrong. So, you know, it has to be a twofold upon. One is the staff and the other is the work. If we've got open cases on people, we've got to get those resolved. It's just not appropriate to keep those going. And I don't know what I don't know yet until I get in there. And then thirdly, I do have some concerns. I've been hearing a little bit about the reaccreditation. They were accredited a year ago. That means their reaccreditation is in 2 years, October. But every year you have to do certain things or they're going to not pass. So that's also every day that goes by. That's a critical element. And I do also understand there's a couple of new standards that are coming into effect that they've got to have in play in February. So I see it as a two-prong. One, yes, we've got to deal with the staff, and hopefully, you know, things have been there. We can rectify if someone's been wrong. If someone needs to be terminated because there's something else going on, you know, that will have to be done, and the interim can do that. But at the same token, the workload and making sure we're not keeping people under investigation for length on end, and just, you know, we've got to make sure that's not happening.
Okay, and then my last question is, can you address, I guess, the last year you were IG in Palm Beach? There's been some discussion as to what did or didn't happen, so I just wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of address that for the record.
Well, I'm at a loss of what the discussion was. Can you help me?
Mr. Hughes. Can...
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I don't think y'all are done.
That was my second question, okay. So...
Mr. Hughes is going to address.
Hi there. Question. How are you, Cheryl?
Okay. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. Brian Hughes from Mayor's Office. First, a couple questions. So if you do go 40 hours a week, which is full time, which was, I think, the expectation of this committee. I can speak for myself. It was my expectation. You talk about travel and hotels, so you would still be reorienting the full time work each week. So December and maybe January, despite travel and hotel and everything else, you would still orient to 40 hours a week, and that would be the commitment if that's this committee's desire.
Yeah, if you all feel in December that I need to be there 40 hours, I mean, I would hope that if I came back to you with a bunch of resolutions that I don't want to waste taxpayer dollars. So if I need some answers, I never want to be pinpointed in the sense that I don't like wasting taxpayer dollars. If I figure out and get everything resolved for you all in 4 weeks and don't think I need to be there full time, I would address that with you all. Okay. And hopefully we would come to some consensus that it's time to, hopefully either move forward with a new IG or appoint someone internal, or I could say, however you, so yeah.
Okay, and what would your pay rate,
for now.
What would your hourly pay rate need to be for 40 hours a week?
It's $175 an hour. That would include that I would pay for all my expenses for travel and hotel.
Have you ever worked with Ms. Green?
I actually hired Ms. Green as a director of investigations back when I started that office.
So you hired the subject who's on admin. Okay. And I was the one who...
I didn't recommend her as the IG, but I hired her as a director of investigations when the office first started.
Got it. Did you offer any recommendation when she was hired or when that search was going on?
No, not as for the IG, no.
Okay. In Palm Beach County, the question that came to me after the last meeting, because I don't know that we've ever met, and I have three people discussed, you were the only one I didn't know their history. After that, a peer in Palm Beach County pointed me towards news reporting. When you were there, and I guess it was before you helped implement the Jacksonville process with Ms. Miller, but what happened in Palm Beach County related to, did you sue the county administration, or how did that play out? And then I'll have a, yeah.
Now, what happened was when I took on the job of Palm Beach County, if you have to remember back then, for those that don't know, back in 2010, it was a time of a very bad situation of corruption. Several county commissioners and city commissioners were going down on federal indictment charges. And so what happened was the grand jury and the citizens demanded an office of the Inspector General. I was selected. And then, no more than got there, and they decided that they were going to put all 38 cities on a referendum as to whether or not they were going to take the Inspector General under their jurisdiction and pay for it. What the lawsuit was is that 13 of the 38 cities, all citizens by majority voted for the Inspector General and were willing to pay for it, but 13 of the 38 cities did not want to pay. Therefore, the city sued the county because they did not want to pay. And then we tried to enjoin that because we obviously were in our own trying to protect the funding. And at the end of the day, we wound up not being able to enjoin, but then we were the witness for the county, which they initially prevailed on that case, and then I left after
so
that.
So we in the previous sentence was the Office of Inspector General or the county. So the county was in a, you were saying we tried to enjoin you at like you
yeah,
and
the office, the office of the Inspector General.
Okay.
Tried to enjoin on behalf of the people. Mm-hmm. With to be part of that. They let the clerk of court in. And so what was happening is that in mediation there was no one, the Office of Inspector General was left at the mercy, so to speak. And you have to understand again, this was a time of corruption and very bad things. They did not want the oversight. So to knock the signing was the quickest way to knock the office. Happy to report 11 years later, that office is still standing and doing quite well. But the city sued the county is what happened. And then I became the key witness for the county.
So the we and the enjoin was not you or your office. It was the county.
The office tried to enjoin in the lawsuit that was filed by the city. So that there was four prongs. The cities, the 13 cities,
right.
The county, the clerk of the court, all became, the clerk of the court joined in, and then our office also filed to join in. And we were not, because there's a lot, it's a very huge, huge case law on this, but basically, long story short, is we did not enjoin on the suit, and then we wound up becoming part of the county, I guess you could say, in defense of the city.
All right. How did that influence when you, it's fine. So that case predated your time coming here to be part of Jacksonville's history. How did that influence it? Do you think the setup of the Inspector General as it exists in Jacksonville is effective, or was it informed or influenced by that experience?
Well, I wasn't the one that was the creator of this, but I'll tell you, the greatest thing that the city of Jacksonville did was they were preventative. They had some issues way back when, my understanding was, in contracting, and so collectively the council at the time, along with the mayor's office, you know, made a decision to be preventative and have accountability and oversight rather than reactive if something's gone bad like Palm County did. So actually it was a reverse situation. It's not necessarily that things went bad at that time. There were some contracting issues many years before, but they actually did it as a preventative tool, which was kind of very, very incredible to them to do that.
And do you, so something you said earlier about what you would be doing, do you think the work related to the complaints of the current IG that are why we're all sitting here, this committee charged that investigation to the Office of General Counsel. If you are in the Inspector General role, is it your anticipation you will be part of that investigation, or were you the administrative sort of caretaker of the office while OGC and this committee do the work, or how does that interaction feel to you?
Well, I think the OGC needs to finish that work, and then hopefully Jason and I have not met Jason yet, but if I were chosen, I would hope that we would just go ahead and set a meeting for the IG committee, and he would present the findings to the CEO, and you guys would make a decision as what needs to happen. I don't see my involvement in that other than coordinating and ensuring that you all get the findings as soon as possible so that you can make the decision whether to keep this green or time to go.
I may have one last question. May I ask Diane Moser or something?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. 175, 40 hours a week, is the reason we have an accounting staff.
It's annualized to 364.
Can you say that as a monthly and contemplate the vacancy? My math is that we will have budgetary limitations within maybe the first, at the end of the first month, if not certainly the second month, and then we still are, based on the uncertainty, we're only looking at December and January in this discussion.
Right, I'll do the math.
Okay, I'm going to pass it on. Mr.
Sherrill. Hello, Cheryl, this is Ellen.
Hi.
I don't think I have any questions. I was going to ask your vision for the first 2 weeks that you were serving, but I think you addressed your three-pronged approach, and unless you have something to add, that really satisfied my question.
Until someone gets in there, we don't know what we don't know, but that would be my approach.
Thank you. I'm going to pass you back to Mr. Hutton.
All right, unless anyone else has anything to follow up. Ms. Goodman, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
We'll try to figure out where we go from here.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. All right.
I had a question.
Yes.
Through the chair, I did some math. So 175 times 40 hours times, let's say, 8 weeks. That's the 2 months would be 56,000. And then let's say she's not done with her work after that. She may or she may not be. We kept her on for 25 hours a week after that for another 8 weeks. That's another 35,000. So that would be 91,000.
So the sum total of that is that we would absolutely have budgetary limitations within about 7 to 9 weeks. So city council president is willing to commit that he doesn't see any problem. Let's open up the budget to figure this out, I guess. It's sort of a pleasure.
Well, I can't say that because I have 18 of the members.
So I think we need to address the question as to whether or not we want to reconsider the offer that has been made previously, and if we do, where we go from there. But we need to address whether it sounds like the 40 hours can be met at least for 2 months. The rate of pay is obviously significantly higher than what the current salary range is. And so I'm interested. I don't have any motions or anything right now, but we've got to move there.
Can I ask Mr. Teal a question? Is it still your expectation? I know you don't have a crystal ball, so the best you can do. Is it still your expectation that you would be done with your investigation with Ms. Green in December, or the December frame, or are you reassessing that?
We're, through the chair, we're reassessing that because we got two additional complaints. I would have no hesitancy saying that we would meet that time frame if we were talking about the original two complaints. There's two additional complaints, and they're unrelated they're only partially related to the issues that are in the first two complaints. So there are new avenues, I think, that we have to go down. I will remind the committee this, though, is if there is enough to substantiate a removal, that would require it to go through the city council process, which is going to add an additional 6 weeks, even, you know, assuming that we're not dealing with council breaks and those kinds of things. And so, you know, so if we're talking about time frame wise, looking at worst case scenario, you know, it is probably going to be pushing up on that, you know, that 6 month window as far as, you know, how long we would want to budget for, if you will.
And then I would point out that if all that happens, then we're obviously going to have to select either a new inspector general or we're going to have an interim for some period of time thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I may, understanding Cheryl to say that there is potential to find someone within the office to serve, so I see that as a possibility for ending her tenure if we select her.
I agree, right? But I think that would probably have to come back to this committee again to approve that.
I hear you.
And I know for me personally, the idea of 2 months of full-time followed by a couple of months of part-time would be sufficient, but for what you're saying. Now, if we all agree that there is potential for the replacement, or I shouldn't say replacement, replacement interim, would come from within the office, I think that is doable, but that's my concern, is the length of time it's going to take. It's not just a matter of getting someone in and concluding that investigation. It's going through the city council, replacement, potentially, and so that's where I have concerns. We certainly don't want to cause more turmoil than what's already there, but I think I would be comfortable with that if everyone was comfortable with the idea of her looking for her replacement as interim within the office.
I would agree with that, only because I don't like making decisions. I can only speak for myself. I don't like making decisions when I feel like we're kind of backed into a corner, and I think we all feel like we're kind of backed into that corner, kind of figuring out what's the best way to kind of deal with this. I think, at least it's my opinion, that we have to get to a point where we kind of steady the ship and then figure out for an interim leader or permanent leader, if it gets to that point, who fits that bill for us to ensure that that continuity continues. Because I don't think it was my intention, at least for me, that we would make a decision on an interim leader within 2 weeks and then that person would serve for half a year. At least that was not my intention, but people can speak for themselves.
I would simply inform the committee that I've been made aware that were we to reconsider this particular applicant, we would have to start over because Mr. Weinstein obviously maintains the desire to be in KHA, which we saw as problematic. And I'll tell you that Mr. Sherman, I think, and I don't think incorrectly, felt a bit slighted at how it played out last time, that he kind of walked out of here thinking that 31 years of service across multiple city councils and multiple administrations had led to some questioning of his potential to follow the ethical and legal guidelines of this particular role, and has no interest in being reconsidered. So I don't. If
he does not want to be.
He does not want to be reconsidered. He is withdrawn from process. So speaking of back in a corner, stuck with something, it would appear the only candidate that we currently have on the table, we got to move to full time after quite a bit of back and forth, and are prepared to give her well in excess of budget capacity in order to have her for 2 months. That's all I have.
how long would it take to identify more candidates then?
It's hard to say. I think that, I did have a conversation with Mr. Sherman today, and his concern was that he didn't want to raise any appearances of any kind of conflict, given the fact that, you know, he heard, you know, the committee last week, and I think what you all were talking about was we've got two candidates that we like, and why not go with the one that has no ties to the city, because then it just eliminates any appearance of an issue. I'm not so certain that if the committee were to say, look, we have, you know, we have the utmost confidence. No?
Okay. I'm quite certain.
Okay. Never mind then. I was going to give him another run. But I think that there were a couple of candidates that we had that couldn't start until the middle of December. And so that was the reason why we didn't put forth those particular individuals, they are unrelated to the city of Jacksonville. They're two attorneys in town that we could identify. Both of them understand the financial constraints, I think. It's just that, ironically, they're in the same trial. So that's the reason the trial, I guess, is the week of December the 6th. And so they were thinking that they wouldn't be able to commence until December the 13th. You know, so there is a possibility that we would have a couple of other candidates that we could offer up. We'll put our heads together again and see if there's anyone else that we can think of that might be a good candidate for this. I can get you two names today, but you have to understand that they wouldn't be able to start until after, until December the 13th. But whether we could come up with anybody else, we would certainly move with all due haste if that's the will of the committee.
Well, my understanding is I think the issue that we need to address right now is, A, whether we're good with potentially 2 months of full time at this pay rate. I mean, I think that's the issue that we need to decide.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I'll move that we leave our offer open to Ms. Goodman at the rate she requested through the end of January.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have discussion?
I would say that, reflecting on our conversation last week and the candidates that were presented, and meaning no disrespect to anybody, I think we selected the best candidate that was presented to us with the most robust experience. I'm comfortable moving forward with her. I kind of am embarrassed that we didn't anticipate that she would want a higher salary than the lowest rate that is paid to the Inspector General here, given her expertise and her role as a consultant coming in. I like to think about it more like a consultant coming in than comparing her to the other city employees and their rates.
I know I still have a concern about it being a very short-term fix, and mm-hmm. I don't know for an office if that's really the best course of action for them long-term. So I still have a concern, even though I very much support her. I think her resume speaks for itself, and while I'm on the topic, I certainly did not mean any disrespect to Mr. Sherman. If there was anything I said that he felt was disrespectful, I thought he was extremely qualified. But I think in these circumstances, we have to be very, very careful. And so any appearance, quite frankly, would fall on him with probably no reason to do so. So I felt like we made the safest choice, but we didn't have a lot of facts at the time. And so I still have reservations about having someone for only 2 months, potentially, maybe part-time for a couple months after that, when we know this process is going to take longer than that.
I'll express, I do have some of those same concerns. It could be at the end of 2 months, things might be great, and we could just move on, and Lisa Green might be back in that position. Heck, I don't know. But I do have some concerns if there's still turmoil in that office 2 months down the road, whether we'll be able to make a smooth transition from there, because it sounds like that is the maximum amount of 40 hours that we could count on for sure for her. I will say my second concern is I think she's probably worth every bit of $175 an hour, but I, as a public employee myself, I have concerns where we have offered a rate that would equate to $147,000 a year, and now we're offering a rate that equates to $364,000 a year. She may very well, and I don't know the question, that she's not worth it, but when you're talking about spending public money, that does concern me, particularly when we know that there are going to be budgetary shortfalls that are going to come along at some point based on the projections that we've had. I would ask, this a little unorthodox, but since we're getting ready, I'd like to have any public comment on this issue. Yes, Ms. Miller.
Coming up close so I don't have to shout from the back of the room. My name is Carol Miller and I'm a retired ethics director. You wonder why I'm here as retired. And it's because I created the Office of Inspector General. I'm its mother. I brought Cheryl up here to start the office. We worked like dogs for years to get the office up and running. And I've had conversations with her, conversations with you. What's best for the office? Ideally, we would have someone come in really low as far as an hourly rate, and they work 40 hours a week, and they'd be here indefinitely. So we're piecing together what's the best for right now. And after talking to Cheryl and knowing her work ethic, I put her resume in front of you because I think it's the best option right now, considering that I've worked for the last 20 years to get an Inspector General office started here in the city, and I want it to succeed. I have no other interest in wanting this office to succeed, and my fear is knowing about the four complaints that there is a risk of accreditation for this office. There is no one better in the country than Cheryl Goodman to come in, who has written some of those accreditation standards for the IG National Committee, to come in here and assess this office, protect these people's accreditation, and get the office straightened out in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I think if anyone can do it, she can do it. If you take the amount of money and you divide it up per month, I think with Lisa's salary right now, you have to add in all the benefits that the city pays for her, the pension benefits, the health insurance benefits. I think we computed it to be approximately $118 or $120 an hour with her benefits. We're talking about $150 an hour for Cheryl and paying her expenses. You know, so I think that you have the ability to let the chair negotiate further as far as what the expenses can be, but we have to protect the integrity and the trust of that office and also the accreditation. I remember a conversation I had with Cheryl a long time ago when we were creating the office, and I said, oh, you're putting in this Inspector General Selection Committee. What are you putting that in there for? And she said, because there will come a time when the office will be under attack and the office will need an independent group of people that are going to come and save the office. And I said, okay, we'll write that into the code. This is that time. And I think to have her in for 6 weeks and have her come and report mid-January and say, here's what I found as one of the top experts in the country, is money well spent and money we have in the IG's budget for 2 months. Do we have it for 6 months or a year? You know, that's, you know, we have to crunch those numbers. We have that money. I want to see the office succeed. I want all these people to have, you know, a happy office where it's not a toxic environment, where they can actually be successful in what they're doing. Our city needs it. That's why I've worked the last 20 years to get this established. So I recommend to the committee that you go with Cheryl, you have a report mid-January, kind of see what the lay of the land is, and then you've got more information. Lots of other people, maybe OGC can find to step in if we need to extend it for 6 months, but at least we've had the top expert come in and tell us what we need to do for the accreditation. That's my recommendation as mother of the program. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Yes, sir. Still, we're on discussion, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you. So, the office being under attack, I just want to make sure that we all are on the same page. I don't know that anybody at this table is attacking the office. I think it's just the opposite. We were brought into a situation not of our making that we have to help guide the IG's office through per the laws of this city and state. So I don't know who's attacking it, other than it has this internal struggle that we're trying to map it through. But it was spoken as an attack, so I'm not clear on that. But more importantly, as we talk about integrity and appearance, I just heard that the person who is under the investigation and on administrative leave, who now has 4 employee complaints against them, was hired by the person. So it's a concern. It's maybe not insurmountable. I'm eager to hear more discussion. I also have, as the person responsible under the charter on behalf of the mayor, to guide our government through the budgetary process each year after the mayor and city council have laid out costs. I do have some concerns that we potentially have budgetary constraints that we're going to run up against. Again, not insurmountable. Look forward to hearing from the committee.
I will just say in response that, I have the budgetary concerns, but I'd point out that we also just gave her a contract extension and gave her a raise. So the fact that Cheryl Gibbon hired her doesn't really faze me one way or the other.
I would just... My role is unique. For me, I want this office to succeed. And even if we were not to choose Cheryl, and then we go back to the drawing board, factoring in Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're going to be here again a week before Christmas, if we're lucky, trying to figure out who should sit in that chair. And if we don't find a resolution by that point, we're pushed into January. And the alternative seems just as difficult as well. And I think ultimately we have an obligation not only to look at the budgetary constraints as to what we can and can't do, but to choose a candidate that we feel best fits that role for the time that we have. We have limited information, a lot that we don't really know, and we won't really know for the next 2 to 3 months, depending on how long Mr. Teal's office can be able to kind of come to the facts and present it to us in a way that we can digest it. So in the interim, I think we have an obligation to the office to make sure that they have a leader that we can all count on to be able to do the job. You spoke about those two attorneys as possibilities, but I don't know anything about their backgrounds. But that's where my concern is. I just want to make sure that we have a candidate that kind of fits every single ideal that is laid out in the code as to what we want in that role. And we deal with the difficulty of the answer.
Mr. Newby, I do have one question. I know, obviously, you are the president. You have, obviously, everybody else. But what are your feelings just generally on the expenditure area? Do you have any?
Well, it can go either way. You got to realize, you know, it's 18 of us. You have 3 of them who are actually running for mayor. You have 4 of them running for other offices. So in city council, we call it a silly season because we have people that have their own agenda. Me personally, I can't speak for. It would be tough, but I think we could do it. I think they would understand that we do need a need for this, so I think they would approve it. But I can only speculate.
Sure.
And about sunshine law, the lawyer, I wouldn't know because I can't ask for
it. Understood.
I want to make sure that the record is clear. So, Jason, you did hear that, what I said.
I did, absolutely, yes, sir.
All right, any other discussion on this? Yes, Mr. Hughes.
I would propose an amendment to the motion that just clarifies that this committee's intent is to, A, acknowledge knowing that it exceeds the current budget capacity and asking the administration and potentially city council to understand that they knew this but just believed it should occur anyway. Something to that effect. I don't know how that's better to the person.
I want to make sure we know exactly what our motion is that's in front of us before we go and we've discussed it.
I think you have your motion that's on the floor.
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to amend that.
No, I thought he was just asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to make sure exactly.
So I can take a stab at it, but we can work on it. the motion then to approve Cheryl Goodman as the interim IG at a rate of $175 per hour, which includes her expenses, through January, with the through January, through the end of January, with the understanding that, now help me with your words, with
an acknowledgement that this committee, in doing so, understands it. It goes beyond the budget capacity of the position currently, and encourages both the mayor's administration and city council to do what they must to ensure that it's budgeted and has the resources it needs.
I do have a question. So let's say, just in case, it comes to city council and the city council reject this, what would we go do?
Well, that's a good question.
It could happen.
I'll say this. There's always a potential without city council to contemplate pools of part-time hours. There are some potential things. We didn't get to that because until a phone call, the person had not agreed to 40 hours a week at that pay rate.
Sure. Okay.
So the math, I'm happy to report back on one-way communication, a more clear projection budgetarily. But I think, regardless of how that math works out, I think it's important for the motion to include that additional language.
Yeah. All right, I'm ready to vote unless anyone else has anything. Everyone understand the motion that's been seconded?
Well, did we get a second on the amended motion?
I'll second the amended
motion.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let us go through probably on this individually that makes the most sense. Mr. Henry.
Do you want to do public comment one last time? Just
sure.
It's been amended.
Absolutely. Since it's been amended, any further public comment on this? Thank you. All right, Mr. Henry, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Newby, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hughes, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Schmidt, how do you vote?
Aye.
I'm a nay. All right. That being said, the motion passes.
Did you say you were a nay?
I'm a nay. I'm voting against it.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Is there anticipation that we'll meet before the end of the year again?
I hope not. As much as I enjoy spending time with this group,
I am
hoping that this will resolve our current issues and we will figure out where we go from here.
I think we need some clarity.
Yeah.
So with this motion and based on the phone call, are we in a posture for OGC and Employee Services to expedite the agreement with this candidate so that we have her online as soon as possible?
Yes.
Yes.
With the 30th as a start date, or are we? Okay.
Yes.
Is there anything else you need from us to do that, or?
We will prepare the offer letter, Employee Services will, and provide it to Mr. Hutton for signature.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I really appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, Mr. Teal.
So, talking about meeting again, we do have those additional two complaints. And as you know, the first step is evaluating the two complaints to determine whether or not it rises to the level of needing the board to consider. I believe we've performed that analysis, and it does need the board to be able to consider that. It was not specified on the agenda for today because we just got them. And so it wouldn't have been a proper notice in order to be able to give you guys, to give the public advance notice of what the topic was going to be. So we did want to to bring that attention to you. Now, for purposes of our investigation, we do have the two complaints that we're already investigating. These do go beyond. There's some other additional areas that goes beyond just the aspects of it. I don't know if. You know, as far as adding how much additional time do you think, Sean?
How much we've done? Well, 10 in interviews so far. We've done 9 or 10 interviews so far. Yeah, well, I think we've done 9 or 10 interviews
since the last time we met. We do still anticipate another 5 to 10 interviews are going to be necessary. And so I would think that we would need at least probably 2 to 3 weeks before we're ready to come back and tell you what we found.
And so that I'm clear, why would it be necessary to come back to the committee again before this is resolved?
Well, so that was kind of what my question for y'all was going to be, is that pursuant to the IG policy, when there's a complaint made against the IG herself, then the general counsel's office has to evaluate it to see whether it falls into those categories, discrimination, unethical behavior, you know, those sorts of things. If we find that it falls into those categories, then we have to present it to you all in order to, you know, to get you to confirm that it falls into those two categories. My thought, however, is that it wouldn't necessitate us expanding our investigation by too much. And so I wanted to ask the committee, if we were to bring it, you know, to kind of bring it to the fore, if, you know, once we, I guess, announce the results of our investigation and we have the hearing, we're required to provide her with information as far as what the basis of the complaints are to be able to provide her with the opportunity. So I didn't know if you all thought that this was something that we needed to reconvene the committee for to be able to provide that to you, or to make it a part of the second, I guess, the next hearing that we would have to be able to address it that way.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to drill down on what you're saying, and maybe I got wrong. So we convened a meeting. You presented some information, which involved two complaints. Mm-hmm. You're saying there's two additional. We haven't reviewed them.
Correct.
But is it inappropriate? We made the motion based on those complaints for you to pursue an investigation. Could we, without seeing those complaints, amend our charge to you to essentially say anything related to this topic, consider, and or does that somehow create a due process problem with the two new ones? You're essentially asking us, we may have to come back together to even say, okay, yeah, add those two to the two you already have?
Well, the inartful question that I had for you guys was whether or not you felt like the motion that you made was broad enough to encompass any additional complaints that may come out of, you know, the initial or the investigation that we had for the initial two complaints that we had.
So I'll say my contemplation was that you were going to investigate the complaints, which was going to entail speaking to whoever was necessary related to those complaints. And if these complaints come from within the IG's office, I would expect that that is part of the overall investigation unless someone feels differently on this committee. And as long as Ms. Green is put on notice as to what these new complaints are.
I agree with you, but would you feel better if we formalized it as a new motion to clarify our first motion?
I think a clarifying motion would be appropriate.
Can I ask a question before you make the motion?
Absolutely.
I don't know the rules that we operate under well enough to know if we're allowed to do that or if we have to look at the complaint first. Somebody else who's smarter about the rules, could we make that motion and do that, or are we obligated to look at the complaint and make sure it rises to the level that Mr. Teal described in the little blue phone? I just don't know.
And if we have to look at it, is it something that we can do?
We can provide it.
So the rules are, if we receive a complaint and the complaint involves neglect of duty, abuse of power or authority, discrimination or absolute misconduct, the general counsel or his or her designee will provide a copy of the complaint to the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. If the complaint or allegation, and then if you all feel like it rises or it falls within that category, so it does contemplate that the complaint would be filed with you?
All right. We will
bring the band back together.
We will see everyone again.
Or actually, Mr. Henry had a question. Is there any capacity to waive it, or?
I will say, just personally, under these circumstances, it seems like we need to make sure we follow the regulations.
More context, I take that back.
I'm free the next 2 Wednesdays at 4. That's going to be popular fun.
Next Wednesday's the day before Thanksgiving.
I will not.
This Wednesday, yeah. This Wednesday, all right.
This Wednesday.
I meant the following 2 Wednesdays, I'm sorry.
Are we talking about this week or next week?
Next week.
Next week. Kibosh this week.
Oh, yeah, next week.
So December 1st.
I mean, it doesn't have to be on a Wednesday. I mean, clearly today's Monday, but we could do next Monday.
Let's do next Monday.
On behalf of the administration, I'll make whatever day work as long as it's not this week, and not Christmas Eve or Christmas.
Monday works for
Monday, me. I will do it if I have to. I'll do it if I have to, but my daughter and her wife are in town, and they're not leaving till late on Monday.
Okay. It's Tuesday.
It's the fifth week, so there's no council meeting on Tuesday.
So what about Tuesday?
Tuesday's fine for me.
Okay.
Tuesday the 5th?
No.
No.
I mean, Tuesday the 30th.
Tuesday, November 30th. And it's 4 o'clock. Fine with everybody?
4 o'clock.
So I'll have to check. One of us will be here, though.
Okay.
Tuesday the 30th at 4.
On the mic.
I'll check.
I mean, I've only got a death penalty case. I'm prepared for it, but hey, who's there? Yeah. All right, 4 p.m. on the 22nd.
I don't know how to say this anyway, but artfully, to borrow your word. Is there a way to see, between now and that meeting, if there will be any additional things that we may need to review? Is there a way to really double check that rather than
keep coming back?
If there's not an answer, that's a no. Anyone can make a complaint at any time, so the answer, that's the answer. So there's the answer.
Is the schedule?
You can't take
Okay. So just for the committee's benefit, we did 4 interviews today, but we don't have any more scheduled for this week. We said that we were going to interview maybe 5 to 10 more. So that would probably be in the next week time frame.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess we'll see each other at 4 p.m. on the 30th. See what happens. Thank you all.